Begin the current daf, Sefetz Kedushin, daf Nun Vav. Begin on the bottom of daf Nun Heima base, two lines up from the bottom of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion from a previous daf and from the halacha of our Mishnah daf Nun Beis Ma Beis. There we had a few machlokes from Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. One of them was regarding where the Mishnah was discussing being Mekadesh a woman with things that are not necessarily your money, where it spoke about a coin that gets a piece from a carbon, or regarding Hekdesh. One of the categories that they discussed was Meister Sheni. Can a man engage a woman with the second tithe that he has? So Rav Meir says, in all circumstances, you cannot. The reason being is because he holds Meister Sheni, his mom gavai. It's Hashem's money. Hashem just lets you take it up to your shalim and consume it, but you don't own it. It's not. It doesn't have any monetary value, and therefore you cannot be Mekadesh a woman with that. Rav Yehuda disagreed, and he held that Meister Sheni, his mom had, it is owned by the individual. Now, therefore, when it's done b'shoigig, when it's done b'mezid, therefore you do it deliberately. You say, I want to be mekadosh with this ma'aser sheni, it's going to be a kedushin. But by hekdesh, but by b'shoigig, when it's done by mistake, then he says it's not going to be a kedushin, as we explained in the previous daf, because it's going to be a mekach tois. She was like, why would I want to be party to the ma'aser sheni? I'm going to have to take it up to Yerushalayim. I'll wait till he gives me something. I don't have to go up to Yerushalayim, and therefore, if it's b'shoigig, it's not going to create a kedushin. Now, regarding that halacha of Rabbi Yehuda, the Gemara brings Tanabon. We learn the following brisa. The brisa says, "Ein leichem behema b'mois meister sheni." This is a halacha exclusively for the halacha of meister sheni. A person is not allowed to go ahead purchase an animal with the monies of meister sheni, obviously out of Yerushalayim, because in Yerushalayim, actually, that's the purpose. You go ahead and you buy an animal. You buy some food item with the money. You're supposed to either take up the actual second tithe of your produce itself, or if you don't want to, then the pasuk says, "Vitzarta hakesa biyadecha." Then you bundle up the money in your hand, which tells us that you're only allowed to go ahead and exchange the meister sheni produce for money and bring that up to Yerushalayim, and therefore, hence the brisa's halacha that you can't exchange it for an animal. And moreover, as Rashi says, because the animal is going to get weakened and ruined in the exertion of traveling from wherever you are to Yerushalayim. So for those two reasons, a person is not allowed to purchase an animal with monies of Meister Sheni outside of Yerushalayim. Now, however, as we continue top of Nunvel Med Aleph, the Im Lakach, now let's say he did. He took the monies of Meister Sheni, which he's really supposed to take up to Yerushalayim. Still, outside of Yerushalayim, he goes and he buys an animal with it. So says the Braisa, Bishoigig, if he did this by mistake, in other words, he had monies, he didn't realize that these were his Meister Sheni monies, and he went and he bought an animal with it, says the Braisa, Yachzer damim lumkaimam. The monies go back to the original place. In other words, we force the seller to give the money back, and he takes the animal back. The reason being is because it's a mekach tois. It's a mistake in acquisition, because had this purchaser, the consumer, realized that the money he was spending for this animal was Meister Sheni mois, he would never have purchased the animal. Because now what he has to do is, since this has Meister Sheni's sanctity of this animal, he has to go ahead and transport it to Yerushalayim, which is a very difficult thing, whereas money he could just keep in his pocket and bring it up. So if he did it by mistake, says the Braisa, it's a mekach tois, it's a mistake in acquisition, it's void, and therefore the money goes back to the purchaser, and the seller takes back his animal. Now, b'mezid, if he did it deliberately, in other words, he knows that the rabbis say you're not supposed to go ahead and do that, but he anyways did that. He went and he took his money and gave it to a seller of animals, and he purchased with the mois an animal. So says the Braisa, then talav v'toicha b'makom. So what you do then is then you go ahead and you take it up to Yerushalayim and you eat it over there in the place. And the reason why it's called the place is, as the pasuk in Devarim Yud-Bei says, el ha'makom asher yivchad, the place which I have chosen. That's a reference to Yerushalayim. That's where, okay, so now the animal has Meister Sheni sanctity, and then you have to eat it in Yerushalayim. Now, Amr Rabbi Yehuda, he says, when did we say this halacha? In other words, when it's done deliberately. If you deliberately, you're not supposed to, but you deliberately go ahead and take wherever you live out of Yerushalayim, and you take the Meister Sheni and you buy an animal with it. So he said, okay, then you take it up to Yerushalayim and eat it there. Says Rabbi Yehuda, that's only been miskaven v'lokach t'chil l'shem shlam. That's only if, as we said, your intention was, and you're doing this deliberately, is that you're purchasing an animal, but for what purpose are you buying this animal, which would be this halacha, then you take it up to Yerushalayim, is only if your purpose is that you were purchasing it as to be a carbon shlam. Because actually that's the norm, which what happens with all the animals which are purchased with ma'aser money, is that it's brought as a carbon shlam. As the Gemara actually, Malachas, Daf Pei Beis Manav, learns that we learn the word sham. It says, v'zavachta shlam and v'chalta sham. And by ma'aser it says, v'chalta sham. Which you learn that when you're bringing the ma'aser money to Yerushalayim and you're purchasing animals over there, they're actually brought as carbon shlam. So says Rabbi Yehuda, that's what the Tanakama's halacha was applying to when, if you didn't wait to Yerushalayim, as you're supposed to, rather you purchase the animal out of Yerushalayim, that it's going to be a valid sale, just you got to bring up the animal to Yerushalayim, is if you bought the Meiser money, the animal was to be designated, as Meiser money is supposed to be, for Yerushalayim. Aval, but says Rabbi Yehuda, but b'miskaven lohitzi mois Meiser sheni lechulin. In other words, when this guy was buying the animal out of Yerushalayim with the Maisa money, was not to buy it as a shlamim to then have it brought to Yerushalayim, to the base of Middash. Rather, his intention was to eat it as chulin, to eat it outside of Yerushalayim. He wasn't planning on taking it up as you're supposed to do with the Maisa money to Yerushalayim. Then says Rabbi Yehuda, the halacha is going to be bein shagig, whether by mistake, which again as Rashi points out, when he's saying by mistake, it's obviously not going on the words that he just said, by miskaven lohitzi mois sheni lechulin, which that obviously is not shaking. That's obviously when you say miskaven that you're intending to, that's has deliberateness to that. So what does it mean, bein shaking? Rather, what he's saying is there's two different processes that are happening over here. If this guy, when he's buying this animal, he goes to the store out of Yerushalayim where he lives, he's going to the meat store, he's buying an animal, his intention is to buy it for chulin purposes, to eat it outside of Yerushalayim. That's miskaven, that's deliberate. It's regarding that act of taking something that's really meiser and using it for chulin. Now, however, but what Rabbi Yehuda is qualifying is, now, when he says bein, whether if the actual taking of the money was shaygig, was by mistake, bein, meiser, whether that was deliberately. In other words, you don't realize that the money is mois meiser. In other words, yes, you're deliberate that I'm going to the store. I'm going to take this, I'm going to eat this, and we're going to barbecue out of Yerushalayim. That's miskaven. In other words, his action is intended to be for chulin purposes. I'm not buying kamer shalom. No, I'm buying chulin. Now, whether the fact that you know that the money that you're using, which is what he's saying, beim shengi beim meizid, whether you're bemezid, you know that that's meiser money, and you're still buying it for chulin, or beim shengi, whether you don't realize. You don't realize the monies that you have. You're just going to the store to buy an animal. You don't realize that it's mois meiser. Either way, says Rabbi Yehuda, since here it's different than the way he defined the Tanakama Salacha. He was talking about when you say, okay, so take the animal to Yerushalayim. It's a valid sale. You shouldn't have done that, but it's valid. Take it up to Yerushalayim. Your intention was to buy a Kamer Shalom with that, even though it's out of Yerushalayim. But here where your intention is to buy it for chulin, yachzur dam l'mekaimam, says Rabbi Yehuda, then the money goes back to its original place, and which both halachas have its own reasoning. Because we're saying that whether the guy realized that what he was buying, which obviously is wrong, you can't buy mois meiser for chulin, whether it's when he didn't realize that it was meiser money, so that's why it's going to go back. In other words, the seller has to give him back his money and the animal goes back to the seller. By shogeg is because it's a mekach tois. As we said before, you didn't realize you're doing something wrong, and therefore for sure you wouldn't want to do that. And regarding the case when he does it deliberately, where he realizes that this is meiser money, and yes, I'm not taking up to Yerushalayim, I'm doing a sin, I'm eating outside of Yerushalayim, there, the reason why the sale is void is because we penalize the seller. Because he assisted him in violating his sin, because they realize that he's giving him the opening to go ahead and purchase this animal and to eat it outside of Yerushalayim, is because as the Gemara says in Amud Beis, where it's not the mouse that's the thief, it's the hole that the mouse goes into that's the thief. And therefore, if not for the seller, he wouldn't have been able to commit this sin about taking his mice and money and purchase an animal and eat it as chulin out of Yerushalayim if not for the seller. So we penalize the seller and we make him go ahead and give him back his money for what he had used to purchase the animal from him. So says Rehud, in such a case, bein shegi bein mezid, when this was an inappropriate, when this is a chilul of the meiser money, then bein shegi bein mezid, the sale is going to be void. Now that is what a Gemara asked. That's Rabbi Huda's opinion. But v'anan t'nah, we learn Mishnah Duf Nun Beis and Beis Rabbi Huda, Omer, the same Rabbi Huda. He says bein mezid kidesh. He says when the husband, the chassan, when the man deliberately gives the woman meiser sheni money, is going to create a kedushin. Now, the reason being is because he holds meiser sheni's mom and head yet. It's owned by the person. Now, we only said that when he does a B'shogeg Gehel, it's not going to be valid Kiddushin because it's a Mekach Toys. It's a mistake. She would never have wanted to accept Meiser money to go up and now have to take up to Yerushalayim. But when they're both aware, they're both cognizant of what's going on, deliberate, then we say it's going to create a Kiddushin. So the difficulty is, we obviously do not say that we're going to penalize, that the Rabbanim penalize, and to say that it's not going to be a valid Mekach, which is what Kiddushin is, just like a sale. Now, that's difficult because that's seemingly the same case as we just described when you're not doing a pidyon, you're doing a chilul. You're taking something of Meiser Sheni and you're giving it to someone else in acquisition. Why is it any different than the case he described where there's a store owner outside of Yerushalayim selling animals? This guy comes with Meiser money and he says, here, I want to use it to go ahead and get this animal. So says Rabbi Yehuda, no. You're taking it and you're using it for chilul. You're not using it for what it's meant to be used. That sale is void. Whether you did it b'shoyeg or b'mezid. So then how is it any different than the Lach of our Mishnah where you're doing the same thing? Here, woman, I want to go ahead and use this to acquire you as a wife, giving her mois meiser, meiser sheni money. Why over there, when you do it deliberately, it's going to create a condition? Why don't we say that it's the same knas that we put on the meicher, that should be the same knas we put on the woman, that no, you have to give the money back because this is not what meiser sheni money was used for. So Amar Blazer, Blazer differentiates and says that the case of our Mishnah wouldn't apply to penalize the woman. Why? Ishiya das, a woman knows she'ein mois meiser sheni mischal nal yada. There is no chilul that happens when you go ahead and you give a woman meiser sheni money. It's still the same meiser sheni money. She just has to go ahead now herself. And meaning, so if she didn't know it's b'shoyeg, it'll be mekach toys. I have to go up to Yerushalayim now. It's going to be a big effort, a big trip. I don't want to go up there. So, but if deliberately they knew about it, so fine. So there's nothing wrong over there. There's no chilul on anything. So good. So she'll go ahead and she'll take it up to Yerushalayim. She'll go ahead and take it up and eat it in Yerushalayim. Now, there was never an intention when the man was giving the woman for kedushin purposes Meiser Sheni money for to deconsecrate it from Meiser Sheni to chulin, which yeah, that's forbidden. That we penalize. There was no such intentionality. He was giving it to her. Now you go ahead and you keep it in the sanctity of Meiser Sheni, eat it in Yerushalayim. But by this seller, the case that we're describing, this brisa, he knows that the monies actually of Meiser Sheni were deconsecrated on the animal that he sold him. And therefore the money that he's holding on to is chulin. So he doesn't plan on taking up to Yerushalayim. Now, since there is a chilul happening over here, oh, so we do penalize the seller because he violated the halacha of lifnei evil seed in the michshel. He is an accomplice to the crime. He's actually causing the stumbling block because he knows that the consumer is coming to eat it in his city. He doesn't plan on taking up to Yerushalayim. So therefore, since he's an accomplice, as we'll see in the Medbay, so okay, so they're both sinning. Why do we penalize the seller? It's because the seller is giving him that opportunity. And therefore we say, no, you got to give back the money and the sale is void. But by the woman, what's wrong? There's no chilul happening. It's not taking effect. There's no transition. The Meiser Sheni is remaining Meiser Sheni. He's just been mekadosh her because it's owned by the hedyud, by the man. And therefore, she could take it up in Yerushalayim Shalayim since there's nothing wrong being done over there. There's no penalty when they do it deliberately. Now, however, the Gemara still asks on this. Maskim le Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Yirmiyah asked, said, but vahari behemet tmeya, but regarding a non-kosher animal, or avadim slaves, or rakakos land, the Adam Yedeya She'ein Mois Meiser Sheni Mischan Aleihen. In other words, the answer that we gave was we differentiated between the case of a woman getting engaged and between the seller of animals, where although they're seemingly the same thing, they're selling something to this man, either themselves as a woman or the animal from the storekeeper. But we still differentiate because by the woman there's no chil happening, whereas by the case of the animal there is a chil happening. Now, why by the woman is there no chil happening? It's because she realizes that there's no chilul happening. It's remaining in its status of Meiser Sheni. So, therefore, there's no reason to penalize. That the Gemara asks, but you have another case which is following the parallel of what you described by the woman. When a person purchases with Meiser Sheni money, he purchases a non-kosher animal, slave, land, whatever it is, a person knows that that will not be mechal the Meiser Sheni money on that because, in other words, there you could say that when the seller takes the money, why is he taking the money? He's obviously going to take it up to actually to take that money and use that money to consume stuff in Yerushalayim because he realizes that obviously chil cannot happen. It could only happen on edible things that you could eat in Yerushalayim. That's the way the Torah told us you can be mechal meiser sheni money. Now, when he's selling him things that are not kosher or whatever it is, land, obviously not going to create a chil. So, but yet, utnan, we learn the Mishnah Maaseh Sheni that tells us, ein loichim behemet tmeya avod mekakois, b'mois Maaseh Sheni. Meaning, obviously, it tells us the halacha, you cannot take Maaseh Sheni money and purchase non kosher animals, slaves, lands, because that it's not the whole way the Torah let you take your produce, deconsecrate it onto money, and then use that money to buy stuff in your shalim, was only as the Torah tells us to eat. And you can't eat slaves, you can't eat non kosher food. So you're not allowed to purchase these things with Maaseh Sheni money, and not fill up your shalim, even your shalim, because again, that's not going to help us. But the Mishnah Maaseh Sheni tells us, but in Lokach, let's say somebody did. He takes his Maaseh Sheni money, goes into a store, and buys a slave. Says the Mishnah, Yechel Kenegdon. So we require the purchaser to take his own money, because he already took the Maaseh Sheni money and gave it to the seller. So we say, okay, the sale is done. Now, what's going to happen? What you purchased with that money, you can't eat that. So rather, he has to take now his own money, and he has to say, wherever those monies are that I now gave to that seller, should be mechulal, should in halacha be deconsecrated on these monies, these new monies that I have over here, and now take those monies and eat them in Yerushalayim to take care of the Maaseh Sheni, which got lost by selling it to the seller. But one thing the Gemara is asking is that obviously we do not assume that the seller is going to go ahead himself and take up those monies that he used to sell whatever item that's not edible and take up those monies to Yerushalayim. But the question is why? Why is it any different than the case of the woman? You said by the case of the woman, since there is no chil happening, because chil only happens on edible stuff, because that's where the halacha of pidyon Maaseh Sheni comes from. So we said by the woman, so she's taking the money. If they're doing it deliberately, they both know about it. So she'll take them and eat in Yerushalayim. There's no reason to penalize that the sale should be void in Kedushin when it's done b'mezid. So then why over here in the Mishnah Maaseh Sheni, don't we say the same thing? Why do we say that now the consumer himself has to go ahead and now double from his own pocket, take out? Why? Why does he have to take out? The seller knows that there's no chil, and therefore he knows, just like the woman knows, that he has to take the money up to Yerushalayim. So why over here do we require the lekech to be yechel kenegdon, just like we don't require the chassan, when he gives the woman the Maaseh Sheni money, to go ahead and compensate from his own money, Maaseh Sheni, take it up to Yerushalayim? We'd say, because she's going to take it up, so why don't say the meicher is going to take it up? So El Rav, the Gemara explains, hach, in the case of our Mishnah, be'isha chaveira askinan. We're talking about a woman that is learned in halacha. The yada that she knows that Maaseh Sheni cannot be mechol through her kedushin because it's not taking effect on anything that's edible. So therefore, yes, she knows, and that's the halacha of our Mishnah, Rebbe Yehuda was saying, she'll take it up and eat it in Yerushalayim. Therefore, if the kedushin was done b'mezid with Maaseh Sheni, it's a valid kedushin. But as Rashi explains, a regular merchant, a seller, doesn't know that the Maaseh is not mechol on his non-kosher animal that he's selling to the consumer, and that's why we penalize the consumer to take from his own money and go up to Yerushalayim because the seller is not going up. He doesn't know the difference in halacha. He thinks, oh, Maaseh Sheni money, okay, great. I know there could be a transition, and therefore he gives him the non-kosher animal. And since he's not going to go up, because he's actually worse than the case of the woman in Mishnah, who is a chavera, who is married to Talmud Chacham, she knows the halacha, she'll go up, and therefore we don't have to penalize the chassan here where he doesn't know the regular seller. That's why we penalize the consumer to have to take his own money. Now, Amamar, the Gemara explains this Mishnah Maaseh Sheni that we just introduced, where it was being used by Rabbi Yirmiyah as a question on the interpretation of Belazar, said in Mlokach, if he purchased with his Maaseh Sheni money a non-kosher animal or a slave or land, so he said, Yechel Kenegdon. So the purchaser, now what do you do? Where's the Maaseh Sheni? Maaseh Sheni has to be in Yerushalayim. So you exchange it on money. Now where's the money? The money was given to the seller. Seller's not going up, so you got to take a Maaseh Sheni, so you machal that money wherever it is by the seller onto your own money, and then you take that and you have new money now to eat in Yerushalayim. Now, that the Gemara asks, but v'amai, why is that the halacha? Yachzur damav l'mekayimam ki hasam. Why don't we say that the sale is void, that the money has to go back from the seller to the consumer, just like we say in the halacha of the Braisa, when someone purchases a kosher animal, but he does it out of Yerushalayim deliberately, with the intention of eating it as chulin out of Yerushalayim, where there we said, we penalize the seller. We say, no, look, you are accomplice in the crime. We make you give the money back, and you can take your animal back. Why don't we say the same thing over here in this halacha when it's, okay, not a kosher animal out of Yerushalayim, but it could be even Yerushalayim, but it's non-kosher animal or a slave. Why don't we say that it was an inappropriate way? It's not a valid way of deconsecrating the Maaseh Sheni. So why are we saying that, okay, he's got to spend from his own pocket now, double now? where, why don't you just say that it voids the sale? So the Gemara says, Amar Shmuel, Shmuel says, when the seller fled and he has the money with him. So what are you going to do? So the guy who's the original guy, the Maisa Cheney, so you're at a loss because we would void it, but he's not around. So therefore, you have to go ahead and spend from your own money. Now, the Gemara asks on that, but time of the Baruch. So it sounds like it's only because he ran away. But according to what you're saying is, but if the seller didn't flee, we would penalize the seller and say, no, I know that you got money for what you sold, but you got to take the animal back and you got to give him back the money. Ask the Gemara, why? Why are we penalizing the seller? Why don't we penalize the consumer? They both did something wrong. So why are we penalizing him? Why don't we make the lekeach go ahead and spend from his own money? Your assumption was that why are we penalizing the consumer? Let them void the sale, as we said in the other halacha. But why? Why are we penalizing the seller, penalize the consumer? So that the Gemara answers, as we mentioned this on Amud Aleph, in a related halacha, lav achbar ganav. It's not the mouse that steals, eluchur ganav, rather it's the hole that steals. In other words, if not for the hole, the mouse wouldn't be able to hide his theft of whatever he's stealing, and therefore he wouldn't be able to steal, and therefore who's the real thief? It's the hole, which is exactly what the seller is. He's giving the opportunity for the mouse to steal, for the consumer to go ahead and misappropriate this mois maaser sheni. Now the Gemara asks, what do you mean? Vilach bar, but if not for the mouse, chur my kovid. What would the hole be doing? Where would he get the theft if not for the mouse? So it's the seller that gave the opportunity, but who's actually doing the wrong? It's the one who takes his maaser money and goes and purchases this non-kosher thing from the seller. So why are we penalizing the seller? Penalize the consumer. So the Gemara says, Mistabra, it's logical to say, Kol hecha de ikki isur, wherever the isur, whatever the prohibited item is right now, hastam kantina, that's what we penalize. So really, the one holding the bag is the seller. Because he's holding the maaser sheni money. Which, yeah, he gave an item for that, but we say, okay, you're holding the stuff that we need. You got the goods, so you got to give the money back and then take your animal back. And therefore, we penalize the meicher, because although, yes, there's a mouse in the hole, but ultimately the money is by him, and therefore he has to give it back. And then that's with the money that the lekech goes up and takes it to Yerushalayim. But again, the reason why we said that we penalize the lekech is only because the meicher was barach, because he fled. And therefore, okay, he fled. It's your loss, because you have to bring up maaser sheni money to Yerushalayim, and you did wrong by buying non-kosher. That's when he has to be yoichel connect, and he has to spend from his own money the same amount of the maaser sheni that he had wrongly given to the seller for the non-kosher animal. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing the theme of the previous Mishnah, is regarding certain monies that are used for Kedushin, if it's going to be valid or not. So the Mishnah tells us a long list of things, which they're all what are called Isur HaNah. They're prohibited not only to consume, but even to have any pleasure, any benefit from them, which obviously would include being Mekadosh a woman with that, as the Gemara learns the source for all of them. So the Mishnah tells us, HaMekadosh Ba'arla, if a man engages a woman with fruits of a tree in its first 3 years, or B'Kalah HaKerem, which is forbidden mixtures of wheat and barley with a vineyard, or B'Shar HaNiskal, or if with an ox that killed a person which has to be stoned, ube'egla rufo, or if they find a dead person on the road and they don't know who killed them, so they bring this decapitated calf, that egla rufa he wants to take and be mekadosh the woman, that's forbidden bahana, and therefore not a valid kedushin. Bitzipar mitzayra, or they take the birds of the mitzayra, which it's in the beginning of the process of the purification process of mitzayra, or besar nazir, which is also that the hair of a nazir he has to cut off in the concluding process of becoming tahar, that here is also forbidden. Upetach hamor, which is the firstborn of the donkey, which if the person doesn't want to release that by giving the sheep to the kayan, then the donkey itself gets decapitated. Ubasa b'chalav, or the forbidden mixture of dairy and meat, or v'chulin shenishchto ba'azara, or regarding a non-carbon animal that was slaughtered in the courtyard of the Beis Hamikdash. Regarding all these items, the halacha is, since they're Isur HaNoi, you don't have any benefit from it, so if you're giving this item to the woman, to be Mekadosh or Einem Mekadosh, she's not going to be engaged. Now, however, the Mishnah tells us, Machren V'Kiddush B'Dmein, but if let's say you sell any of these items, and you get money for it, and then you use that money to Mekadosh the woman, then Mekadosh she's going to be engaged, because as the Gemara will later teach, the monies of these Isur HaNoi do not transfer that sanctity onto the money, rather that item remains in its forbidden status, and the monies are permitted, and therefore if you mekadesh a woman with that, she's going to be mekadesh. So the Gemara goes through the list and starts off by saying, Ba'or l'manolam, where do we know that fruits of a tree in its first 3 years are forbidden to have any benefit from it? The Tanya, like within the Braisa, the Pasuk in Vayikra says, Arei lam lo ye'achil, that when they're still in its status of closed, which is in its first 3 years, you're not allowed to consume the fruits of the tree. Says the Braisa, Ainli, Eli Isarchil, I would only know that there's a prohibition to eat it. Hano minayin, from where do we know regarding pleasure? In other words, you shouldn't have any benefit from it. You shouldn't go ahead and use it as a dye. For example, that there are certain types of fruits that you could dye. For example, the shells of nuts, because although that's a shomer of a pri, it's just the casing of a fruit, as it has the same halachic status in regarding to arla as the pri itself. Or v'loyadik boyas in there, how do you know that you can't light a candle with it? Let's say it's coming from oil. Tamaloyma va'araltem arlasai, that's what the pasuk teaches over there, a superfluous term to say any type of arla will be forbidden. In other words, l'rabba says kulam, it's coming to include everything, not just the isachila, but even the isr hana. The Gemara continues from the list of the Mishnah. B'klakar, regarding a forbidden mixture, something that was planted, not just of vines, of grapes, but other things were planted in the vineyard, created a forbidden mixture, they're forbidden. Ask the Gemara, Manolam, where do we know that it's even aster b'hana? So Amar Chizki, Chizki says, because Amakra, the Pasuk in Devarim says, it's in the Devarim Chav Beis Pasuk Tes, it says, Le'sizer karmacha kolayim, a person should not plant his vineyard kolayim, a forbidden mixture, pen tiktash. The term is that maybe it's going to become tiktash, which means to say it's going to be forbidden. So the way he reads it is, pen tukar esh. Maybe you're going to have to burn it in fire, that's the contraction of the word tiktash, and therefore you see that because you have to burn it in a fire, because not only can you not eat it, you can't have any hanah whatsoever. Rav Ashi, I mean, he gives a different source. He says, when it says pen tiktash, it's from the term of kaidish, which means pen yeh kaidish. Maybe it's going to be like hektish. In other words, just like hektish is also b'hanah, so too kolayim. Now, in this interpretation of the Gemara asked, however, ima kaidish, if you're comparing it to kaidish, so just like by kaidish, teifis es dama v'yoytz l'chulen, what happens with hektish? When you deconsecrate hektish onto money, what ends up happening is actually that the animal, the hektish item actually is permitted, and it's the money that now gets the transfer of sanctity. So then af kolay akarim. So then you should say the same thing regarding the kolayim of a vineyard. Taifis es dama v'yoytz l'chulen. Then what actually should happen is when you make a sale, that actually now the sanctity of the kolayim should go to the money, and the original kolayim should be permitted. So why do we say in the Mishnah that if someone sells the kolayim and is mekadesh a woman with the money, she's engaged? Obviously, we see that the money actually does not become forbidden. It's actually the money that's permitted and the kolayim that remains forbidden. But if you're comparing it to hektish, actually the opposite happens, is that the hektish item becomes permitted and the money now has the sanctity of hektish. So the Gemara says, El machvarta kedechizki, obviously it's clear, we have to say like Chizki had said, that the source of this halacha of pentiktish is pentukat esh, because you're going to have to burn in a fire, and not because pen yekodish maybe is going to be like hektish, because actually then the halacha of the Mishnah would not be correct. Being mekadesh one with the money wouldn't help. It would also be forbidden with the status of hektish slash kolay akarim. So obviously the source is because pentukat esh, just because you have to burn in a fire, that tells us that it's aser b'hana. Continuing on the list, the Mishnah said shahar niskel, that the ox that has to be stoned because it killed a person, that ox is forbidden to have an offerment. So think about minayim, where do we know this halacha from? The Tanya, like learning the Braisa. The Braisa tells us, mimash meshenema, from this that we understand that the Pasuk says in Shemais, sokol yisokol hashar, the animal that, the ox that gores the person and kills him. We have to stone the ox. So any edation of Elihi, don't I know that since you're stoning the ox, you're not properly slaughtering him, he becomes an avela, a corpse, a non-kosher piece of meat. Now, the nevela, and we already know from a different pasuk in Devarim Yudalid that tells us, Lo soichlu kol nevela, not allowed to eat any non-slaughtered, just animal that was killed, that asur bachila, so already know that it's forbidden to consume. So Matam Alema asked the Braisa, then what's the pasuk teaching us by the Shahar Niskel, Lo ye'ochel es besor, you're not allowed to eat its meat? Of course not. You're not slaughtering it, it's non-kosher meat, you just stoned it. And that's how it died. So what's the pasuk teaching us that you cannot eat the meat of the Shahar Niskel? Says the Braisa, Magilachot, this comes to teach you, Shim Shachto la'achar shenigmar dinoy, that if before they stoned it, the person went and slaughtered it after the judgment was already passed, that it's supposed to be stoned, it already has the classification as of a Shahar Niskel, that asav achila, that even then it's going to already be forbidden to consume. And therefore, actually, the pasuk is teaching us two halachas. First of all, sakal yisakal hashar. You have to stone the animal. Then when it says that you're not allowed to eat it, it's coming to say that even if you slaughtered it and didn't stone it, still it's forbidden to eat. That's the chiddush of the pasuk, even though it was slaughtered. Continues the b'raisa b'anominayin. How do you know that the iser is not only to eat it, but even to have any benefit from it? Tamalim, that's what the pasuk teaches over there. It says, uval hashar naki, that the owner of the ox is cleansed. Now, my mashma, what is that? Where do you see from that terminology that actually that he's not only not allowed to eat this sharha nisko that was slaughtered, but he can't even get any benefit from it? So, Shimon ben Zayma Omer, he explains, ka'odim sh'am l'chaver, it's like a person who tells his friend, yotza pleini nakam in a chasav, which literally means to say that that person is cleansed from his assets, meaning, as the English aphorism is, that he was cleaned out. In other words, ve'im lebehem anosha klomi, he's not getting any benefit from it whatsoever. So we see that, what does it mean? He's naki, he's empty. He's cleansed because he's not getting anything from this animal. Not only can he not eat it, he can't even have any benefit from it. That's the source that you see, the sharan niskal is also about none, therefore you cannot be mekadesh a woman with that sharan niskal. Now, however, the Gemara asked on this interpretation of the Braisa. Mimai dahai lo ya'ochil es besar, from where do you know to interpret, as the Braisa did, that it says in the pasuk that you're not allowed to eat its flesh? Must mean to say, it's coming to tell us that, of course, it wasn't stone, because if it was stone, it's an avail, of course you can't eat its meat. Must be coming to say, like the Braisa said, that if it was slaughtered after Gemara Din, after the judgment was passed, before it was stoned, ask the Gemara, Dilma hechad shochet la'acha shenigma dini shari. Maybe I would tell you actually not like the Braisa said, that if you actually slaughtered it after the judgment was passed, before it was stoned, it would be permitted because it was properly slaughtered. Now, so but then the question was, v'holo ya'ochel, what are you going to do with this pasuk that says that you're not allowed to eat it? Says the Gemara's questioner, I would tell you, hechad sakli miskalu da'asa, that it is actually coming to say that you're not, that the words lo ya'ochel coming to say when it was stoned. Now, what does that mean? We already said that you don't need a pasuk by Shar HaNiskal to tell you can't eat an animal that was stoned. It's an avela. And that the Gemara is coming to say that no, the word lo ya'ochel in the pasuk is coming to say not that it's forbidden to eat. That I know because it's an avela. It's coming to say that it's asr bahano, because actually the term lo ya'ochel tells you not only a prohibition of eating, it tells you actually a prohibition of having any pleasure. Ukad Rebavo Omer Belazer, like Rebavo says the name of Rebbe Lazar. And that is that, truthfully, the Gemara's questioner is saying that regarding a halacha of nevela, because he's saying that I would tell you the pasuk's tomat, as the beginning of the pasuk sounds like, that it's one long theme, that the animal was stoned. Now, but from the fact that it's a nevela, and that's what it is because it was stoned, I wouldn't know that there's any prohibition of benefit, because actually a nevela, the Torah tells you explicitly that you could have benefit from it. Now, therefore, ask the questioner, that's why I would tell you, the pasuk then comes to say, lo ye'ochel, it tells you that you cannot eat it. Now, again, as we said, Rebbe Vo teaches, and actually the source is from the Vela, where the Torah tells you, lo ye'ochel, and then it tells you that it's forbidden, it's permitted to have benefit, which obviously that's Rebbe Vo's inference on the pasuk, is that obviously lo ye'ochel itself would include it, Isra'no. That's why the Torah had to tell you by the Vela that it's permitted by Hanah. So that's why I asked the Gemara's questioner over here by the Shara Niskal. It tells you lo ya'ochel and does not say it's permitted to have anah, to tell you that it's actually also asa b'hanah. Now, although the Braisa taught us that you know the Isra anah from Bal HaShar Naki, so in that, as the Gemara will later say, that there are those who interpret the term of Bal HaShar Naki for other things, to say that regarding a Shar Tam, that it's going to be exempt from Chatzi Kaifer, or from if he kills a pregnant woman, that he's not going to be liable for the Dmei Vladis, for the value of the embryos, as the Gemara will later on bring this. So that's what the Gemara's questioner is saying. How do you know that it's coming to teach you that there's an Isra Achila, even if it was slaughtered before Skila? Maybe no. Maybe Lo Yachal is going after Skila, and it's coming to tell you that there's an Isra Hana, and you don't know the Isra Hana from Bal HaShar Naki. You know it from this term of Lo Yachal. Bal HaShar Naki is coming to teach you something else. And therefore, who said, like the Chiddush of the Braisa, that there's an Isra Achila, even if it was slaughtered before the Skila? Because the Amr Bava Amr Belazer, he says, Kamakim Shenemer lo ya'ochel lo yisoichel lo yisoichel. And the Torah tells you a term of that there's a prohibition of consumption. Says Rebbe Vo, the truth is Echad Isra Achila v'Echad Isra No. That term of not to eat doesn't mean just not eating. It means any benefit that's being forbidden. until the Torah specifies to tell you that it's not like that, the way the Torah specified by a nevela, which is an animal that died without being properly slaughtered, which is, Rebbe Avos halacha is, from the fact that the Torah had to tell you by a nevela, that to the resident, non-Jew, who lives in your town, to him you give the carcass, the dead animal carcass, what do you need a pasuk for? To tell you that it's permitted to have benefit by giving it or selling it to him. Now, so therefore, you see that although the term used over there by Nevela was only loisaychlu, so I only know that it's forbidden to eat. Why do I need you to tell me it's permitted to have ana? Oh, must mean to say that really the term loisaychlu already includes the isra ana. That's why they tried to tell you by Nevela that no, it's permitted to have ana. Which in the Gemara Pesachim, Nef Chabezim and Alf talks about this at great length, asking questions on this interpretation of Rebbe Avoh. But one thing the Gemara is asking is, so if the term Leisleichel could mean not just Isra Achila, but also Isra Na, maybe what it's coming to say is, yes, it's talking about that it was stone. For stone, so why have to say Isra Achila? It's not telling Isra Achila. That I know because of Nevela. The term Leisleichel is coming to say the Isra of Hana. That we wouldn't know, because Nevela is actually permitted in Hana. We're coming to say that the Shara Niskel that was stoned already is forbidden Hanana, and therefore we're back to, so that's the difficulty on the Brisa. How do they know to infer that there's an Isra Bechila, even if it was slaughtered before Skila? So that the Gemara answers, Hani Mili, when did we say this Halacha Verbevo, where you would know an Isra Bechila from a terminology of Achila? That's Hecha Denafkel on Isra Achila, Lo Yaachel. That's only if the actual prohibition of eating it would also be learned out from this term of lo ya'achal. And that is, since the Torah had to tell you that you're not allowed to eat this thing, so although it used the terminology of eating, so it once it's saying the primary benefit sometimes you could have from an edible thing is eating, so include all benefit as the iser in the terminology of eating, which because that's what Rebbe Avoh learned out from the Vela, where it says lo ya'achal and it includes the iser and also. But says the Gemara, hacha iser achila, but here the prohibition of eating the Shar HaNisko, the ox that was stoned, that you know from a different pasuk. That Misokel Yisokel Nafka, that you know already from the first half of the pasuk that tells you that it's going to be stoned. If it's going to be stoned, I already know you can't eat it because it's going to be Nevela. And therefore, I would only need, according to what you're trying to say, the term of Lo Ya'achal to tell you the Isra Hana. But then, that difficulty with that is, why would I tell you an Isra of Hana with the terminology of Achila? Because the Isra Kedaydech Lissa Hana, if you would entertain, as the question is trying to say, that the whole term of Loya Achil was only coming to say the prohibition of benefit, well, Nechtav Kral Loya Hana. The Torah should have said a more explicit terminology, you're not allowed to have any benefit, any pleasure. And therefore, it's obvious that it's coming to tell you an Isra of Achila, which is as the Bryce had explained, which is when you shechted it, before it was stoned. Inami, or actually a different thing you should have done, if it was like you're trying to propose the questioner to say that lo ye'ochel is coming to say Isra of Hana, not Isra of Achila, then lo ye'ochel. It should have said just don't eat it and been silent. Es besari lamali, why I say don't eat its flesh? So rather, says the Gemara, that's a second proof that obviously that afagav the shachti came basis, the pasuk is coming to tell you that even though you slaughtered it like meat, meaning to say because meat is something when it's basr, which is permitted to eat is usually when it's slaughtered, on that is what we're coming to tell you that even then it's going to be asr. How do you have that? Oh, because the shara niskal that was slaughtered like regular meat, es besare, before it was stoned, that's what the pasuk is coming to tell you, like the Braisa had said, that is still going to be an Isra of Achila and the Isra of Ana, because again, as we said, if it was like the questioner had proposed, then it shouldn't have said Lo Ye'ochel. Lo Ye'ochel only makes sense like Revo's Halacha that includes Isra Ana when it's also the source of telling you Isra Achila. So okay, we included Hana in that. But here we already know that Isra Achila, if you're saying like you're proposing that it already was stone from because it's stone and therefore it's Isra Ana, there's an Isra Achila of Nevela, so then we can't say that the term Lo Ye'ochel on its own is coming to say the Isra of Ana. Now, but Maskev la Mazucha. Mazucha asked on this now. And he says, V'eimahani mili, let's say that when did the Pasuk tell us this? Okay, so the Brice is correct. Because like the questioner we're proposing, would it make sense? So he's saying that the Pasuk is teaching you that even when it was slaughtered, it's going to be usher, even though it wasn't stoned yet. So on that asked Mazucha, but say that when did the Pasuk tell you this? When you checked the rock to make sure it has a sharp point and that it's kosher like a slaughtering knife, and you slaughter with the rock, where the mechzikiskila, where that looks like being stoned, because you're using a rock, which is how they stone, But still, it's not going to be nevela, because it's not a nevela, it's actually being slaughtered properly. That's where the pasuk is coming to tell you, oh, even though it wasn't stoned, even though it really was slaughtered, but it's going to be forbidden because at least it looks like being stoned. But maybe when you slaughter with a real kosher slaughtering knife, maybe there the pasuk didn't tell you to include in this issa of loye achel, which is telling you issa of achila being properly slaughtered, that's going to be awesome. Maybe then it's going to be permitted. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Midi sakin by raisiksev? Does the Torah tell you regarding the halach of shechita that it has to be done with a knife? In other words, since you're telling me that when you're slaughtering with a rock, it's not going to be stoning, it's going to be slaughtering, and still the Torah is telling you it's forbidden regarding its meat, so of course there's not going to be any differentiation between a rock and a knife. But because Vo'aytanya, moreover, the Braisa tells us clearly that by kol shechin, you're allowed to slaughter with anything. Bein mitzur, whether with a rock, bein mesklusa, whether with glass, bein mekreim shlokana, whether with a stalk of a reed, doesn't make a difference what you slaughter with, and therefore if the Torah is telling you there's an issa achila, which must be talking about that he was slaughtered before as being stoned, because after stone you don't need a source for issa achila, it's already asa because nevela, you cannot differentiate between a rock or a knife. But now the Gemara concludes and says, so v'hashta d'nafkelon issa achila v'issa no, but now that you told me regarding this shor haniskel, the halach of HaMishnah, which was slaughtered before it was stoned, and you tell me that there's an issur of consuming that meat, and there's an issur of even having any benefit from that meat, tarvayim lo ya'achal, both of them are being learned out from what the pasuk says, that they shouldn't be eaten, which again, as we learned from Rebbe Vo, that comes to tell us not just you're not allowed to eat it, which obviously that is coming to tell you regarding shechita before skila, because after skila you know it's forbidden to eat from sukkel yisukkel. And we said that not only tells you that there's isra of eating, but like Rebbe Vo said, that also tells you isra of hana. So then, hai bala asher noki lemayasa. So then, but the Braisa had brought the source of the isra hana from that, you know, his noki menachasav, that he was cleaned out, not only is it asa to eat it, but even to have hana from it. But according to Rebbe Vo's interpretation, you already know that from lo ya'achal, what do you then use for the pasig of bala asher noki? Says the Gemara, lahanos ayri. That's coming to tell us that not only not have any benefit from the meat, you can't even have any benefit from the hide, from the skin of the shor haniskel, of the animal that was supposed to be stoned. Now, the reason why you need a special limit for that is because I would have thought to say, lo ya'ochel es besorei ksiv, the pasuk says, he's not allowed to eat its flesh. Besorei asur v'orei mutter, the flesh, the muscle, that's something you're not allowed to eat. But the hide, I would think, would be permitted. That's why you need to have the special pasuk of bal hashor noki, the end of the pasuk, to say that he's totally cleaned out. Not only can he not have any benefit from the meat, but even from the hide. Now, however, on this answer, the Gemara asks, but ulahanach tanoi demafkele hai bal hashor noki. But according to the other tanoic opinions, which are brought in Baba Kama daf Mem Aleph and Beis, that they use this terminology of bal hashor noki for other halachas. For example, lechatzi kaifer, which is if let's say the ox killed a person. So the owner of the ox does not have to bring what's called half of a kaifer. In other words, although there's halacha, when there's a shor hamu'ud, which is an ox that gored three times already. So then the owner of that ox has to pay to the inheritors of that person who died kaifer, which is atonement money for the value of the person that was killed. However, regarding a shor tam, which is an ox in its first two times, then he doesn't have to pay, although by hezek, by damages, when he doesn't kill somebody, it just causes damage. The shor hamu'ud pays nezek shalom, the full damage, and the shor tam pays only chatzi nezek. So you would think the same thing would apply to kaifer too. When it kills a person, the shor hamu'ud has to pay the whole kaifer, but when it's a shor tam and he kills him, he has to pay half. That's what it says in the bala shor noki. When it's shor tam, he's cleansed. In other words, he doesn't have liability for the death of that person. He doesn't have to pay chatzi kaifer. Or ula demei vladis, that those who learned it regarding when an ox gores a woman that's pregnant and miscarries the fetuses, that what it's telling you is that bal hashor noki, he's exempt, in this sense it's not used as cleaned out, but rather as noki is clean, he's exempt, that he doesn't have to pay for the value of the aborted fetuses to the husband of that woman, in contrast to a man. When a man is fighting with another man, by mistake he knocks the pregnant woman and makes her miscarry, he has to pay, as the pasuk says in Shemais Chafalef, Anish Anish. What it's saying is that by the shire, the owner of the ox, he is naki, he doesn't have to pay the demei vladis to the husband of the woman. So that's what they use bala shor naki for. So the question is, according to them, hanos ari menalahu, where do they know that regarding the shor haniskel, that when you can't have any hana from it, not only is it for es besari, but even for es ayroi, for even from the hide. You can't learn that from Bal Hashar Nukkah, because they use it for other halachas, either for the halacha of Dmei Vlodis or for Chatzi Kaifer. So the Gemara says they would know it from when it says in the Pasuk, Lo Yachol Me Es Besare, when it says that they can't eat Es Besare, it could have just said Lo Yachol Besare. What's Es Besare? So that means Es, the term the, is Hatafel Besare, whatever secondary. The word Es comes to tell you something secondary to that item. What's secondary to the meat? It's the skin coming to tell you that not only is there Isser of Lo Yachol, which means not only Isser Achila, but Isser No on Besare, but even Es Besare, including the hide, including the skin too. Now, but Ve'idach, but the other opinion that learned it out from Bal Hashar Naki, as we continue to talk about Nazayin Men Aleph, they es lay darsh. They didn't expound the word es as a ribuy, as an inclusionary term to include not just the meat, but even the skin, and that's why they couldn't know it from es besari. They had to know it from Bal Hashar Naki, which again, as we said, they know the salacha of being totally cleaned out, being asur not only from the basa, but even from the hide. Can you like learn the Braisa that there is a Tana that refrained from expounding the terms es, as including something else in halacha. With the Braisa tells us, Shimon HaMasayni, Vamrilan, some say it was actually Nechemio HaMasayni, Hayadurish Kol Es in Shabbat Torah. He would expound every time the Torah says Es, this thing, which is superfluous, it's a ribu, it's inclusionary term, the, to tell you that it's including something secondary to that halacha. But Kivin Shehigiyele Es Hashem Lekecha Tira, but when he reached the pasuk in Devarim that says, the Hashem, your God, you should fear, Pirish. He stopped expounding the terms S, because he was afraid to equate something, even as a secondary status, to the fear of Hashem. What's going to be secondary that you should include in fearing Hashem to that? So he stopped expounding the S's. So Amalek Tamidav, so his student said to him, Rebbe, our teacher, call S and Shadarashta, you were going through the whole Torah. All the S that you expound, Matahelem, what are you going to do now? You suddenly come to Devarim and you stop expounding S, and what are you going to do with all the other times that you expounded it? So Amlehem, he said to his students, Kishim Shekibalti Schar Al Adrisha, just like I receive reward for the expounding, so Kach Kibalti Al Aprisha, that's how I'm going to receive reward for refraining. I thought that was the appropriate thing to do. Now I get a Shema Kechatir, I see that's inappropriate. What could be compared even as a Tafel to Hashem? And therefore, although I receive reward for darshening, I'm going to get reward for stopping now. Achabo Rebbe Kiva Valim, until Rebbe Kiva came, and he continued the expositions of the S. Because he taught, when it says, Es Hashem Lekechatira, that Hashem, your God, you should fear, what's the S? L'rabbis Tamid HaChacham. To include Talmudic scholars, that on some level there is a tefillah of their honor, the fearing of Hashem, to fearing the Talmudic scholars who study Hashem's Torah, that's included in the S. So, however, regarding the halacha of who is the one that learns out the Isser of Hana, of Oiroi, from Bal Hashar Naki, where he's totally cleaned out, even from the hide, and not from Es Besari, that's either again Shimon HaMasayinu or Nechem HaMasayinu, who they said that you don't expound Esen. And how do they know that? Because it says Hashem Es Hashem HaKechatira, and nothing can be tuffle compared to the fear that a person has to have for Hashem. And again, whereas Rabbi Kiva held that you could expound it because that includes the Rabbis Tamid HaChacham.